What the f***?
No, it's okay. On this show, you can say fuck.
Another episode of What the Fuck is upon us. That means it must be Saturday night, right, Charlie, who's not Jillian this week because she has some personal things she's dealing with?
I am going to take her word for it, because if it is Saturday, then I got to lay off the booze.
I know. Isn't it weird how it feels like a Monday evening to you?
I was just going to say that. This just has a Monday kind of vibe to it.
meta jokes that the audience doesn't know, huh?
Is there any better kind of joke?
Let's get right into this week. Charlie and I are going to be talking about there are things that in the grand scheme of things are minor, but it'll still piss you off. And Charlie and I are going to have our big, I think, differences in the third segment for this week's.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Do you get pissed off with this whole busting kids for illegal downloads kind of thing and the word illegals in quotes?
I do get pissed off. I think that if you sort of attack the problem at the source, then none of this stuff would happen. If say an artist has a single that is coming out and they don't want it to be illegally downloaded, just don't put it on the internet.
Even if they don't, then someone else will take it off of the CD and put it on the internet.
Only have so many copies available and, you know, keep track of who has them. I mean, it just seems like a lot of weird stuff. Like the record label doesn't want the audience downloading the music from the internet because then they won't buy the album. But I mean, someone has got to control that, because when music is created, it's only the property of the artist and maybe the engineer recording it.
Well, apparently it's that big of a problem in Finland.
Dude, everything is a big problem in Finland.
Well, now, keep in mind that this is Finland's already had a big battle brewing with the Pirate Bay. Pirate Bay blocked all Finnish ISPs, so Finland has gone after the Pirate Bay, and they are trying to sue them. The Copyright Information and Anti-Piracy Center, CEPIC, sounds like a venereal disease to me.
Sounds like a pirate movie, a CEPIC.
Ah, there you go. Well, the Finnish police just raided a 9-year-old girl's home to confiscate her Winnie the Pooh laptop because she downloaded a song. A song. Not an album, not a movie. She wasn't seeding. She downloaded it because she could not afford the CD on her allowance. Are we taking this just a little bit too far already, Charlie?
Yes, I think we are. I think greed is the ultimate motivator to do horrible things.
Almost mafia style.
It was like a shakedown.
Yeah, they said it would just be easier for all concerned if you just paid the compensation and this went away. That's kind of like protection money, isn't it?
That's what it sounds like to me, and I've seen The Godfather a bunch of times.
So what it came down to, I don't know, because it's all in Finnish money, I don't know what 600 Finnish dollars equal to in America. That's ridiculous. They were basically saying this girl downloading this one song, she owed them, let's just say, the 600 is American money, $600 because she downloaded a song.
I'm guessing it was probably even more than that, because there was a quote from the girl's father in the article that you sent me, you know, like, make this go away by skipping Christmas this year. So we're probably talking like in
a month's,
you know,
pay is what it sounds like.
Yeah, like $1,200, $1,300.
Yeah, it sounds like it's a month's pay. And then to make it even worse looking for the police, but better for the copyright people, The artist was some Finnish pop star named Chisu, Chisu. I've never heard of her before.
Yeah, so I saw that too.
I don't know who the hell Chisu is. But
I am Chisu. I'm well, going to kiss you.
Chisu actually came out on the side of the little girl. I hope that the matter will be resolved soon, and sorry to my 9-year-old girls. And then she redirected fans to Spotify, where they can listen to her music for free. Now, I think this is what Chisu was kind of getting at, because in the article it kind of hinted that she was not exactly happy with her 9-year-old fans being busted for downloading her songs. Fair enough. I think more artists that stand up against this should stand up against it. Unless it violates your contract with your record company, I think you should just come out and say, you know what, this song, as far as I'm concerned, is free source.
Even if it does violate your contract with a record company, defend your fans anyway, because this goes out to all pop artists, be they Finnish or Swedish or American, which, by the way, an American pop artist would never defend the fan who illegally downloaded their song. I mean, because I hear that coming from what I imagine to be a very beautiful Finnish woman, but then it makes me think of Lars Ulrich just...
Money.
Yeah, like a troll under a bridge. But I think they should do whatever they can to defend their fans, because without the fans, they got nothing. There is no album, there is no concert, nothing.
The article also said this: the one song of Chisu's that the little girl downloaded, she liked it so much, the dad went and bought her the CD a month later. So in reality, the record company lost absolutely nothing. That, I think, is the bigger thing. But yeah, I mean, could you see, I remember, didn't a couple of years ago, Nine Inch Nails release a complete album that was free source and they encouraged their fans to make mixes of them?
Nine Inch Nails did that, Radiohead did that, and there were a couple more.
While I may not be fans of that music, Charlie, I can't do anything except respect that kind of decision.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And I think more artists should do that instead of going, gimme, 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 gimme.
Yeah, it's just, it's greed is what it all comes down to. And I think the Swedish copyright group, which I'm not going to try to pronounce as a word again, C-Epic.
The venereal disease sounded
great. Yes. I just think greed is a horribly driving force in the human race. You know what I mean? And I just don't like it. I think greed drives people to do horrible things, like taking a girl's laptop with Winnie the Pooh all over it. Oh, God, it just fucking pisses me off, man.
It also comes down to organizations like the RIAA, the MPAA, and all the other alphabet organizations. They're basically just this side of thug groups. They really are. They're just this side of thug shakedown groups. And don't you remember last year when it turned out that, now we can't blame the entire RIAA for this, but someone in their offices was illegally torrenting Dexter episodes? The whole time
I did hear about that. Is
evil, someone in their office is torrenting Dexter to their work computer? So it says right there, even you people are not above this.
I don't think they like to be called you people, though.
Well, considering I'm sure they're all races, you people encompasses everybody, Charlie. There's no racism whatsoever involved in you people in this case. You got torrents, which leads us into the next thing we're going to talk about, which is, have you heard about this European Union censorship of the internet deal? We finally, I don't think we killed SOPA, IPA, PIPA, and all the other idiotic sounding Dr. Seuss anagrams. I think they're just dormant for now in America. I need you to answer me this question, Charlie. I know you are a huge freedom of speech advocate. Why is everyone so determined to take away freedom of speech on the internet? Why is every, if it fails in America, they try it in Europe. It failed there. Now they're trying it for the entire European Union. Why must everyone censor the internet? Why?
I think it's a really a control issue, man. I think it dates back to, I mean, the same reason why, you know, religion as a concept and, you know, Christianity in particular, all this stuff was invented to control the people, not really as an opiate for the people, you know, in later years. But I think with free speech, people get to say whatever they want. And I think that people with secrets don't like that.
It is about the control of information. I think that's what you were getting at. And if so, I totally agree with you on that.
Yeah.
I think it's more about, just like you pointed out, control for the sake of control. Like one of the things that IPA PIPA tried to do was give the movie studios such vague terms of what constituted copyright infringement that you could theoretically have made the argument that if Charlie McMullen, you reviewed the movie Alien on your blog and you used their movie poster as your photo for that, that would have been copyright infringement. The language was just that vague that basically they'd be able to stop anything negative said about them.
Right, but they can't come right out and say that. They can't say, we don't want you to say anything negative about us. So a lot of legislation is written and enacted. If they're going to say, well, you can't publish this because you're using that poster, that's reason enough to not get it published, so that's more or less a victory for them. That's suppression of information.
Suppression of information, to me, is the most dangerous thing that can be done. And I'm about to break Godwin's law, but how do you think Hitler rose to power so fast? The only information that got out was the information he wanted to get out. And I'm sorry to go to the Nazis with that, but that's a very apt and telling example, isn't it?
That's the only reason that there could be censorship to this level, like wanting to control the flow of information on the internet, is because, I mean, nobody gets offended anymore. I mean, don't give me the, you know, we have to protect the children's sensibilities and shit like that. That argument does not work in this day and age. Nobody gets offended at anything they see on the internet. They could get grossed out, they could disagree with something, but nobody gets offended to the point of, oh, my life is over because I've seen this.
I don't know, that promo for Killer Karaoke on True TV made me pretty suicidal.
You have no idea.
I take it you had the same reaction?
Yeah, well, I had that reaction of just, you know, in general, that looks really stupid, but then it was sort of a professional insult at me on top
and
of that.
To me, the Killer Karaoke thing just signaled that we're done as an American society, that we can't sink lower.
Yep, good night, kids.
It's all over for us as Americans. Sorry, night. There are certain things, and I'm just playing devil's advocate here. There are certain things, while I do agree with freedom, and I am in no way stepping on freedom, would you want a Derek Klebold just to be able to download plans to build a bomb to blow his school up? Or would you want some sort of safeguard there that would at least make it more difficult for a Derek Klebold to get bomb-making materials?
Well, I think it should be difficult, sure. But I think, you know, to tackle that problem, you need to take a step back. Make sure none of that gets put on the internet to begin with.
But that's exactly what we're advocating against, isn't it? That,
well, I'm not saying it's illegal speech, to put it on there.
But if you know, some neo-Nazi organization wants to tell another neo-Nazi organization just, and I'm sure they would word it like this, just for informational purposes, how to build a nail bomb, that is still information. You can't classify this is dangerous, this is not. Do you not agree that all information should be free, if any is?
Well, okay. First of all, Josh, you can't talk to somebody born and raised in Colorado, invoke Klebold and Harris, and then expect it to go away quietly into the night. I
actually had forgotten that was near you. Yeah. I just did that because that was the first example that entered my head. I'm sorry, Charlie.
No, it's fine. I mean, because I've had this conversation so many times since 1999, it's ridiculous. My opinion on, you know, that example in particular, I blame the parents of the gunman 100% for Columbine.
I'm in complete agreement. I don't think it was society. It wasn't the music and the video games. It wasn't their school didn't notice anything. No, it was the parents should have noticed your fucking kids are racking up weapons and learning how to efficiently kill people. Something's wrong here. There's a point where you got to be a parent and step the fuck in.
Exactly. All without his parents noticing, he not only downloaded the recipe for a nail bomb and instructions on how to construct it, but also constructed it, presumably in their house, and they didn't notice. I don't think internet censorship is going to make people into better parents, no.
But then on the other hand, what do you think about something, since we're playing devil's advocate here, about something like WikiLeaks? When WikiLeaks came out, it brought out information that made foreign relations more difficult because of some of the things that were out. That information should have always been free, but do you think information should have a cutoff point where it is literally a danger to national security if such and such fact were to escape onto the internet? And I know facts on the internet, you know, there's always only a 98% fact to a fact, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, you're talking about like a statute of limitations.
Well,
yeah. I think there definitely should be, but I just think treason laws are already in place. If something constitutes treason, that's a law broken. End of story. I don't think censorship needs to be invoked in that, along with that. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, here's the thing about the European Union thing, that the UN is basically standing in the way of the European Union's Censor the Internet Act, which wouldn't technically affect us unless we're trying to get BBC News or something like that. But here's the thing that I think is dangerous. Quoting a spokesman from Google, only governments have a voice at the ITU. This includes governments that do not support a free and open internet. Engineers, companies, and people that build and use the web have no vote. The ITU is also secretive. The treaty conference and proposals are confidential. Now, on the surface, that sounds all good. It sounds like Google is going, yeah, standing up for free speech, right? But you notice that very first sentence, governments should have control. I don't think they should. Governments shouldn't decide what their people can and cannot see.
I would agree with that. That's correct. I don't think, I don't know. I mean, government has, you know, has its place, govern the people, enforce laws, what have you. But government does not need to step in like an omniscient parental figure and decide what's best for everybody.
The nanny state analogy that's been brought up numerous times. Do you think the internet, and I know this is a stupid question because I already know the answer. Do you think the internet should remain the wild, wild west where anyone can say anything? Or do you think that there should be certain safeguards? Because theoretically, I support if you call yourself news, you should at least have a factual basis for what you put out as news. On the same token, part of me says, but the internet is free. Am I weird with that dichotomy that part of me fights against myself?
Well, I think that is a little bit odd, but I understand it 100%, and I can't really find a way around it. So I definitely know what you mean. I am of the mind of Wild Wild West. I think I don't think there should be any censorship on the internet at all. I mean, I think if somebody has broken a law, then they should be punished. If somebody puts like kiddie porn on the internet, they should go to prison for the rest of their lives. But that doesn't mean that, you know, there should be laws preventing anyone else from logging on to an internet that might have kiddie porn on it. Do you know what I mean?
Well, then how about when it comes to technically illegal things like we brought up in Dumbest Thing, torrents? Should torrents in general be allowed on the internet when, to be fair, probably a good 70% of torrents are used for, if not illegal, quasi-legal means?
No, I don't think there should be any regulation about that. Because I think entertainment is, I mean, I love entertainment and I spend a great deal of my time being entertained during the day, but it's
and
a luxury.
You're an entertainer.
I try to be, but it's a luxury commodity. And I don't think that so many taxpayer dollars should go towards censoring anything like this.
I think the internet should remain free. Our European friends can maybe chime in about this European Union wanting to censor the internet. And I don't know all the countries that are part of the European Union, so I don't know just how inclusive or exclusive this would make certain aspects of the internet. But hell, they might find this show offensive. And next year, if this would pass the European Union, I might not have any European listeners anymore, huh?
What are you really losing there?
Hey, guys, Hart D. Fisher from Heart Attack here. And normally you'd hear me ranting and raving about some political thing that's got a bug up my ass or another, but today I want to talk to you guys about the Safe Cig. When I was growing up as a kid, my father smoked 3 packs a day, my mother smoked 2 packs a day, and when we went on a family camping trip, he rolled up the windows for the air conditioner, so we rolled down the highway in a goldfish bowl full of smoke. It was nuts. Well, tell you what, folks, I wish my father had this when I was a kid. Safe Cig is a new technology that offers a real alternative to smoking tobacco cigarettes. That's right, it's an alternative to smoking tobacco cigarettes. No tar, no ash, and has virtually no smell. So go on down to www.thesafecig.com. No secondhand environmental health or fire risk. So if you've got a hubby or a wife who likes to smoke in bed at night while she's reading her favorite James Patterson novel, well, hey, you don't have to worry now if she's smoking the Safe Cig, because it's not on fire. So, folks, I've got a really good deal for you. If you want to try out the Safe Cig, you can. You're going to get 20% off if you use the code HORROR. That's right. Use the code HORROR, and you're going to get 20% off your order of the Safe Cig. And that's THESAFECIG.com. So go ahead and check it out today. Get your 20% off. Don't forget to use your code HORROR.
So, Hart, the last couple of shows have been, you've been bearing your soul as it is, and you've been making amends to certain people, and you've been outing the people that are still trying to fuck you over. We've gotten some interesting feedback on that. For one, Joe Linsner, who you apologized to last week, heard the show, and I've heard you and him are getting together. And I haven't heard anything about the flowers and the razor wire bullshit that we talked about last week, but as we're recording this, the show has only been out for a couple of days, so maybe that certain party hasn't had a chance to hear it yet.
He's heard it.
Are you sure?
There's things you feel, there's things you know, there's things you feel you know. I'm pretty certain that motherfucker's heard it already.
What's the deal with you and Linsner? I saw that you and him are talking and he more or less accepted your apology.
Well, you know, I was pretty shitty to him in the 90s and I didn't have to be. Linsner never really did anything to me. He never really talked shit on me, but I was kind of nasty to him because of my association with my, quote, friend. And so it was really nice to get this burden off my shoulder. You know, I'm one of those dudes who, when I went to my high school reunion, I made sure to make amends with people that I was nasty to in high school. You know, I'm like, I was pretty fucking nasty to you. I didn't need to be that way. I'm really sorry about that. That's gratifying. It's really good to release this shit. That's the whole power of confession. I posted about the interview. I went to Quinn and let Quinn know. You know, everybody in comics fucking knows each other, man. We all know each other. So I made sure that Joe got to hear the show, and yeah, we're talking. It's kind of nice. It's nice to let go of that. And it was kind of sad too. We're both kind of sad about how this person turned out. You know, we're both, because we both cared about this person at one time in our life, and we both got fucked by this person hard, and we both got publicly humiliated by this person. So we shared a lot. We haven't been like, it's not like we're chums and we're buddies and we're like fucking tongue fucking each other. We just started chatting and just like, you know, hey, and that's really nice. And that's just the beginning of something. And it was good for him to be alerted about his own characters and the own infringements on his copyrights and the underhanded shit that affects him.
You wanted to talk a little bit about your blackout as it is with certain magazines, which I have plenty of issues with. Fangoria and other horror magazines out there, but those are editorial things. Tell us a little bit about your blackout in this regard.
Well, you know, I'm a public figure, and I've been in this business a long time. I started Boneyard Press in 1991. I've been going to Fangoria horror conventions since 92. So I know all these people in the industry. They're people I've been drinking with for years. I've known them for years. Quite frankly, I got to say to the people at home, you haven't read about American horrors really on any of the news sites. Now, why is that? That's the question, guys. How come a channel, and especially because we've been free. I'm not aware of any other horror channel that plays uncut Danzig videos. I'm not aware of any other horror channel with the original programming lineup that we have via the True Crimes program, our American Horrors television show, our American Horrors Intermission TV show, our zombie series 813 by Tracy King, which fuck is coming back to American Horrors. I've been getting it ready to relaunch this series. It's a really good zombie series. We've got original short horror films like Worm, Night of the Vampire, just an amazing collection of great stuff, a feature film called Deep Seated. We've got a lot of really good original content. We just signed Johnny Dickey Slaughter Tales. It's a movie this kid started when he was 13 years old. It's meant to be a bad VHS film, and it's fucking awesome. And so we're doing this, and they're writing about these creators on these sites, and they're talking about them. So the question is, why has there been nothing about American Horrors in Fangoria, Rue Morgue, Horror Hound, Famous Monsters of Filmland, or in Dread Central, bloodydisgusting.com? Why not? Why haven't we read about this? We're doing the TV show with Steve Johnson, Rubber Rules. How come you haven't read about this anywhere? They get our press releases, and they throw them in the garbage.
I see ads for FearNet in these magazines, so why not ads for American Horrors?
Well, I won't advertise with Fangoria because they will censor your ad on the printing press the day that your ad goes to print, but that's a whole other story. I don't know why these guys aren't talking about us, but I know they all are watching us and aware of us. I post every piece of good news on Chris Alexander's Facebook page. Several of the Fangoria writers are my Facebook friends. FearNet has just hired one of my Facebook friends to run their website. FearNet has been biting a lot of our style. You know, they've been looking at, people are paying attention to what we're doing, and they're biting from us. I don't know why Dread Central won't write about us. I don't know why bloodydisgusting.com won't write about us. I have friends that, quote, supposed to be friends that work there. And it's not about my ego. This isn't about why won't you write about me. It's about why won't you tell the horror fans about this free TV channel that they could all be watching for free. Why aren't they telling you guys? I don't know, but I fucking had it. I fucking had it with these fucking assholes, these fucking dildos, because you know what? Nobody gives a fuck about this stuff anymore. I mean, print is having a real hard time. I want to work with people. That is my real true agenda. I'm a team player. People not understand that. I am a team player. When you do comic books, It's a team effort. There's a whole creative team there. And that's what I'm used to functioning with, a team. And I prefer to work with people to get ahead. There's lots of room on the stage, lots of room. And you know, when I talk to people, and plus you've got people like that dumb writer, Leanne Spider Baby something something. And guys, I'm sick of the fake names, okay? All you journalists out there, you ain't Hunter S. Thompson, motherfucker. You're not a gonzo journalist. You're not Spooky Ted. You're not Bloody Bill. You're a fucking lame-o. You're trying to make your personality more important than the content. No one's writing to read about Bloody Bill's opinion. It's not about that. They want to hear about the movie you saw. It's about the content. It's not about you, you fucking dummies. And you guys think your brand has become the star when you're on the way out. The last thing I heard about Fango, Jesus Christ, I heard that it's some fucking broad is using it as a way to destroy people's careers, that it was nothing more than gossip and nastiness. I was at the Viscera Film Festival, and oh, Jesus, don't get me started about assholes at film festivals. We're at the Viscera Film Festival, and we're shooting, and one of the Fangoria correspondents is there, and her TV crew didn't know how to operate their gear. That's right, they didn't know how to operate their gear, and their reporter has such a problem with me that she couldn't bear to stand next to me on the red carpet and do her fucking job asking questions of people on the red carpet. She couldn't do it. So at this fucking thing, my crew helps them shoot their interviews. My crew, my guys, help their crew shoot their stuff for Fango, even though I fucking have a problem with Fango for being dicks to me and for ignoring my creators, for ignoring my artists, for ignoring the people that would want to know about this, for fucking over their fans, because I was a Fango maniac. And so I'm upset that they're not doing their job. Guys, when you do horror, your gig is to turn the audience on to the next cool horror thing. Your gig is not to set a political agenda for yourself. You are in the business of telling people, check this out, check that out, here's another opportunity for you, and let them make the judgment. Your job is to pass on the news. So what we find here is, just like with Google and the other search engines, that people are paying them to give you the information they want you to have. I don't know why there's a blackout on me. I don't know why these people... I've talked to the editors at Dread Central. I know Uncle Creepy. I know these fucking people. I know Brian. They're friends of mine. Or they? I thought they were, but they're really not. They're full of fucking shit. That's why I walked away from a place like Dark Delicacies. I supported the store for years, but when push came to shove, they kind of fucked me and threw me under the bus. They didn't take me seriously. Well, you do that at your own peril. And you magazines and you websites out there, we're getting bigger and stronger every day. And the longer you try to ignore us, the more foolish you make yourselves look. We should all be working together to make the horror community a fucking awesome place to see awesome horror films, to help other creators make more films. That's part of my thing. I'm here to create a home where creators can make real good horror films for all kinds of audiences, not just one or two, not just this or that, but for all of the guys. You got to have the extreme with the light. You need a little bit of flavor. You need the vanilla along with the chocolate. You need the spumoni along with the raspberry sherbet. Everybody deserves to have their fucking flavor. And I don't understand why these guys can't get that mentality together instead of playing this I'm hipper than thou, or I'm holier than thou, or you didn't say this nice thing about me. It's like fucking high school bullshit. I don't understand it. But I tell you, you fans at home are being done a disservice. You are not getting what you think you are getting. They're not telling you about everything. Just what they happen to feel like at that moment, or what they think will sell. They're just catering to what they think will sell. The original creators of Fangoria are long gone. The people that have it now are a 10th generation pale shadow. You know, it's just really pathetic what's happened to these magazines. Even Rue Morgue has really fucking dropped and gone down the hill. I used to be a big fan of that mag. Now they fucking told me to lose their email. They didn't even want my press releases. The point is this, guys, at these magazines and these websites, when you hear this thing, this interview, because I know you're going to hear it, you need to work with me, because anybody who does not work with me will get run over by me. And if you don't understand that, you need to study my history. I will outlast you. I will outlast you. And I'm going to run right over you, all of you. It's going to be ugly if you piss me off. It's the 2013, guys, Things are going to get fucking interesting.
When you've got nothing and you want everything, you've got to get to be the Mac.
I mean, being rich and black means something, man. Don't you know that?
The Mac. His business is pleasure. He sells the soft stuff.
They're going to have to rewrite the Mac and Game book, baby. You know, because I'm going to be the new king.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the big moment we've all been waiting for. The Mac of the year. Goldie! 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 Brother's going to work it out.
Max Julian is Goldie, and Goldie is the Mac. The Mac, with Richard Pryor and music by Willie Hutch. The Mac, from Cinerama Releasing, rated R. Under 17, not admitted without parent. Now that you've seen all the rest, make way for the Mac. The biggest and the best.
So, Charlie, do you spend a lot of time on Facebook?
I try not to, but I ultimately wind up spending way too much time on Facebook, yes.
What about Google? I'm sure you use Google for a lot of things. Hell, I remember back in the days when Google was the third place runner for search engines. Do you remember fucking Dogpile?
Yeah, I remember Dogpile and Lycos.
Yeah, I remember actually using those. You know what? I should actually – wouldn't it be ironic to Google those to see if they still exist?
Yeah, Google Lycos, see if they're still around.
Have you noticed this disturbing trend in the last few years that I guess we'll call personalization of search results?
Yeah, I have noticed that. I wasn't sure what was meant by that until I watched the video that you sent me yesterday. But yeah, if you spend so many days on Facebook only clicking on links with like a liberal, like left-wing slant or a right-wing conservative slant, that's all that comes up when you go to Google to look something up.
Google and Facebook, the example was by the website TED, nothing to do with that shitty movie, just the website TED, which is sort of a social monitor website. They have this very disturbing video put out about how, without even realizing it, Facebook, Google, Yahoo, and other organizations are tailoring the internet to you. I don't want that. When I search for something in Google, I would like all results. Not the results they think are what I'm looking for. Does that worry you a little bit that the next time you Google something, you're not getting all the information that you thought you were?
I wouldn't say it worries me. I don't know. I mean, I don't like the thought that, you know, there might be something that I need that I don't get because Google is looking out for my delicate sensibilities, apparently.
Well, the way I look at it is, okay, so I'm into fat chicks. So does that mean whenever I Google porn, is that why I get fat chick videos right away?
It might be.
Instead of just, you know, quote-unquote regular porn?
So Google's just saying, come on, Josh, you can do better than that.
And I'm saying, no, I'm into fat chicks.
Yeah. Thanks, but no thanks, Google, I can't.
But that also says to you, is there a person doing this or is it all bots? They say it's bots. That they look at your search history, they look at the things you read, they look at the people whose links you click on Facebook. And the example that the TED argument gave was friends on both sides of the political aisle. He's got right-wingers and left-wingers that are Facebook friends. But he tends not to click on the right-wing links whenever they post something. So Facebook started noticing you're only clicking on the left-wing links. So he started to notice, hey, all my conservative friends aren't posting anything anymore. They're not showing up in my timeline. Facebook had decided you don't want to see the conservative things, so we're just going to not even put those on your timeline for you. That's a little bit disturbing that they're telling him what he will and will not read on his Facebook.
Yeah, I definitely don't. I don't like that. I can't say it's making me as angry as it seems to be making everybody else, though. I just think that Facebook is a luxury commodity. You know, it's just a social networking site. If it changes, like the timeline format's a perfect example. People were bitching about the timeline format.
I still don't like
it. Ironically enough, bitching about it on Facebook, which is like a free Tibet sticker made in China. But well, if you don't like the way Facebook works, don't use it. It costs you nothing. You get nothing from it. It's something you could take or leave. But people get addicted to it. And they get addicted in turn to bitching about it.
I can't quite say it's not something you need because in this day and age, you're an entertainer. I'm an entertainer. People like Hart Fisher is an entertainer. Alex Jowski pretends he's an entertainer. We need Facebook. You don't know how many extra hits I get on this show alone. It'll air on Saturday, and then it'll show up in the archives on usually Monday, and that'll be fine. And then I go and post the link to the What the Fuck episodes on Facebook, and all of a sudden, five times as many people see it. So in a way, I need it to help promote my business. So in a way, I do need Facebook, and I that pains me to say that, Charlie. It really does.
Well, what I'm saying, though, is people should really only be allowed to bitch about stuff they pay for.
But then what about, like I brought up before, what about if this isn't all bots? Is there somebody at Google looking at the tranny porn that you're downloading? Or to even link this back to our first segment, what if Google gets employed by someone in the government to say, hey, we want you to look at the porn viewing habits of your users to find out which of them are going to child porn sites?
I'm not going to volunteer for that job, but I can see how it would be necessary just from a law enforcement type of perspective.
But in a way, isn't that making everybody a criminal because a few people are criminals? I have no privacy on the internet, and on the internet you really shouldn't expect privacy, I get that. But that I have no privacy on my Google searches because a guy five blocks away from me might be committing a crime?
Well, I'm not saying it's right to monitor what people are searching for. You know, I definitely don't think it's right. I don't think it's necessary. And I don't think that anything useful can be garnered from it. But I'm not going to complain that people are doing it. I don't know. I've never been concerned about identity theft. You know, it's never happened to me. I can't imagine what low standards people must have if they're going to be stealing my identity.
The way I always put it is, they deserve my credit rating. Go ahead, take it. You're not going to get anything for it.
Yeah, if you can make some lemonade out of that, take a shot.
Doesn't this also come down to the same bullshit that the Bush administration pulled with the NSA spying, where they were listening in on regular Americans' phone calls in case terrorist plans were being made shortly after 2001? That offends me. That offends me on a personal level. Who knows if I was, you know, making a sex call to my wife, some fucking FBI agent fap into that? No. There are certain things you have, if not an expectation of privacy, at least the illusion of privacy. I think this is no different. What Facebook and Google are doing is no different than what everyone decried the NSA for doing back in 2002. Yet somehow everyone on this is just going, eh, comes with the internet. Well, the NSA didn't come with a fucking phone.
It didn't, and that's that is an excellent point. I don't know. I mean, I just think the only way to combat that is not like not going on a crusade or a rampage. Just monitor what you put out there. Look a little harder. I mean, if you're worried about search results, just keep looking. Keep looking until you find what it is you're looking for to begin with.
The TED video also exposed everything is so tailored to you that they'll even look at your computer or your IP address that you can completely wipe your computer out. You know, you can reformat your hard drive and all of a sudden start searching for conservative websites, and Google will recognize your IP and said, hey, this IP likes liberal websites. So that's what you'll get as search results.
That must
this
have been terribly.
This really worries me, Charlie. It really does.
That must have been terribly frustrating for Dennis Miller.
Oh, you mean after he went crazy after 2001 and
yeah.
Became an uber conservative? Ah, the internet.
Yeah, he had to convince Google that he really had turned.
The thing that bothers me the most about this, Charlie, is the fact that we weren't even consulted or told about this. They just did this, and they did it so innocuously. Until you saw that video, would you have even noticed that they were doing this to you, Charlie?
To tell you the truth, I probably would not have noticed, because I definitely don't do most of my research on the internet. I mean, it does bother me. It bothers me to the point where I definitely feel the violation of privacy, and of course I don't appreciate it, because that gets me thinking, like, you know, is it a person that's looking at what I'm looking up on the internet? Are they casting judgment, or is my information being shared with other people? It's definitely a concern, but I can't say it bugs me as much as I'm sure it bugs you and a lot of other people probably listening to this show, because just make the internet a smaller part of your life and it affects you less. You know what I mean?
Well, as I recently found out in my internetless 10 days, it's hard nowadays to do that. I found out I can't bank outside of banking hours. There were so many things. I can't even pay some of my bills without the internet anymore because they charge a $10 check fee. So it's the internet is so entrenched in our lives. I think we were so short-sighted, we didn't see that, you know, the water was boiling around us and we were that titular frog in that old saying. You know, and I just don't like the fact that now that I know this, and I have a feeling you'll agree with me on this, are you able to Google without wondering now what you're not seeing now that I've exposed you to this?
Not now, no. I may never use Google again.
You know, the you of a week ago was a happy searcher. The you of now is like, ah, fuck.
Yeah, see, as I crest into my mid-30s, I think I'm adopting more of a blissful ignorance kind of point of view on a lot of stuff.
Well, and I know some of our listeners are going to have the argument that they would rather have not known this because, like I just pointed out, I can't now Google without wondering what I'm not seeing. There are people that it's sort of that out of sight, out of mind mentality. Yeah. That mm-hmm. A perfect analogy is you go to a restaurant. The waiter spits in your food. You don't see it. You don't taste it. You don't know about it. But he comes out and tells you afterwards. All of a sudden, then you yak. Would you have rather not known that the waiter spit in your food?
I would rather not have known.
Now that this has been exposed, do you think they will keep doing this? Or do you think most of the public will just kind of, whatever, you know, I'm doing what I'm doing. It's like you pointed out, Google's a free service. You can't bitch about free. Or do you think more people are going to kind of start fighting the power, for a very hippie term?
I think, well, first of all, that's not a hippie term anymore. That's a Public Enemy term. Awesome song. But I think it'll happen as long as someone in a high enough position of power is still able to make money from it.
So again, just like segment one, this comes down to money, you think?
Anytime the question of censorship or monitoring or any sort of civil rights violation or violation of privacy, anything like that, follow the money. I know it's a cliche, but cliches happen for a reason.
Well, and then you've also got the whole fact of, have you ever used an email service without an email service like Gmail, Yahoo, something like that without an ad blocker on it?
I believe I have.
Do you notice how certain things you'll be typing about the new James Bond movie, and all of a sudden the ad that pops up is for a James Bond DVD collection? Funny, it was almost like they searched for the keywords in my email. Most email programs do that, and people don't even realize it. People don't realize that they search for keywords the same way that the NSA in the early 2000s had email bots out there that searched for keywords such as napalm, building, things like that they were using to look for terrorism. That scares the living shit out of me. Who the hell knows that some private email, you and I on the comic book that we're working on, you and I trade emails over something, Charlie. How do we know some fucker at Google is not reading those emails and is going to steal our idea from us?
I don't think we can know. I don't know. I think it comes down to whatever government agency it is that's monitoring emails. I'm sure before you're given that job, you have to sign some sort of a confidentiality agreement or something like that, which is always subject to human error. I'm not going to pretend like it's not. But I don't know. I mean, I don't think that the NSA and definitely not Homeland Security, I don't think they should have gone to the extent that they've gone, particularly in the 5 years after 9/11. But I think it also comes down to, an issue of self-policing. You know, if there is anything that you definitely don't want to get out, don't put it out there.
What's it going to be like for you on Facebook now? Are you going to wonder whether some of your highly religious friends, if you never clicked on their links, why they're all of a sudden silent on your Facebook? Or are you going to stop using Facebook? Or, like you said, you're kind of addicted to it.
Well, I don't think I'm addicted to it. I think that people that use Facebook, you have to accept that there's a certain amount of risk. And that's not true just for Facebook. It's true for any time you publish something on the internet, anybody with access to the internet could find it somehow.
Like I said, that's why I used the term earlier. You don't have an expectation of privacy on the internet. You have the illusion of privacy because they make you think all your information is secure. But then there's also the fact that I have Avast as my virus software on all my computers. I got a message from Avast 5-6 days ago as we record this that someone, and this is ironic, broke into the Avast security center and stole about 160 million user profiles. And they don't know if those are going to wind up on the internet. So even the protection out there can get cracked. That's real lack of privacy.
I mean, it's a possibility that we're all going to have to deal with until the robot insurrection.
So where can we find Charlie Soup Kitchen McMullen?
You may have just answered your own question, Josh.
Okay, where can we find him? On the unsecure, no illusion of privacy internet.
There you go. I will be places at times. No,
could
you can
be
find
a tad more specific?
You can find me on Facebook, Charley McMullen. And you can also find me on www.geekjuicemedia.com.
You can find me at 1201beyond.com. Yes, we are back up. I beat the Vietnamese, and I am back. Charlie, if you didn't know about that, I'll tell you when we're done. My website's back. You can contact me at 1201beyond@gmail.com.
Nervous about being named Charlie now?
Yeah, it was you sumbitch. I am also at the aforementioned geekjuicemedia.com, and I'm just going to say good fucking Saturday night.